T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, you were getting excited, and then you were out. I like this song. This song's great.
I thought it was a different song.
What song do you think it was?
I don't know. It wasn't this one. This dude's weird.
I disagree.
Who is this?
I don't know. I recognize the song. Mafia. Oh, this is Swedish House Mafia? Yeah.
Who was that?
Swedish House Mafia. You
never
know
heard
this song.
Yeah,
we had a segment.
Just wait. We'll get to it.
Listen to this.
Great song. You've heard that before. You've heard that riff before. Come on. Don't even try. Don't even try and pretend like you haven't.
Airport bathroom?
No, I would say... So, there's a song that's out now. Is it called Last Kiss? First Kiss? Last Kiss? One Kiss? There's a song that's a song that has Kiss in it. And it sounds like every generic club song that you would hear. Like, you know, like the scene in Hitch with Will Smith? Where he's in the club with Eva Mendes,
yeah.
Like, and there's like a generic song in the background. There's songs that just like feel generic. That song is a bit of a quality of that, where it's like I would imagine hearing this in the background, like this sort of a generic sounding house club.
There's some good bathroom music out there, especially in strip clubs. They have the music going in the bathroom,
yeah.
A little, not elevated music, a little upbeat. But you brought up Hitch, man.
Yeah.
For years, I thought that Hitch position was a real job. Because I could do that. Teach a dude how to holler at a woman.
It's a great concept for a movie.
It's a great concept, but I don't know if people that don't know how to talk to women would pay somebody to teach them how to.
Oh, I totally disagree.
So where are the openings? I looked for it.
I mean, it's kind of a position that doesn't come with a great deal of prestige. Like, you don't want to be advertising in the open. Hey, although there was a VH1 show that was basically like this, right? It was this guy. I believe he went by one name, Mystery. Does this sound familiar, Falero? And like he wore like all these different like crazy outfits and stuff. And the basis of the show was I'm gonna teach you. What to do.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what to do naked or what to do?
Naked. How do you make the introduction?
That was
what do you
show.
Say? Yeah. Or how do you run game, basically?
We need to start that show, man. I'm going to get my own show. I need one name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll go by Light Skin Wonder. Just go by the phrase Light Skin Wonder. And I'm going to teach men how to talk to women. But off bat, man, I don't need no warm up.
I don't know if in the Me Too era that like, hey, I'm going to teach you how to sleep with women. Like,
yeah, I didn't say sleep with you. You went too far, Chris.
Okay.
I didn't say holler at him. Because some men, I've seen them.
How do you make the introduction?
Chris, I've seen them. I've been out with places, dudes I know and don't know. And they're, hey, Crowder, look at the girl in the red dress.
Is there one you're sitting next to right now, maybe?
Look at the girl in the red dress. Man, go holler at the girl in the red. Why are you telling me? I'm married.
Light skin wonder.
I'm telling you, man, I could capitalize on this. Dudes be scared.
Are you saying that? So you have a sound drop of Light Skin Wonder. Is this like a brand for you? Like, have you tried to carve out Light Skin Wonder as your corner?
Yeah, he was a vigilante at first. Now he wants to be like Will Smith and Hitch.
Light Skin Wonder.
It's just kind of my thing.
It's not really.
It's my rap name. It's my Hitch name.
Mm.
It's whenever I'm just, you know, kind of outside of myself and my comfort zone, I go with Light Skin Wonder.
So now Hitch in the movie advertises in the newspaper. Right. In the newspaper, there's like, you know, hey, you know, it's like basically all, you know, positions himself as a consultant. And I think also it was kind of like a word of mouth thing. Right. So maybe like you and I can work together and then I'll say to one of my lame friends, hey, I got a guy for you.
We got action. And I'll give you a percentage.
Yeah, finder's fee.
What are we talking now?
Yeah, light skin wonder.
We're giving away too much on
air. I know this guy, Light Skin Wonder, and he works magic.
And I'll
send you like a letter like 2 years later. Oh, Light Skin Wonder, you changed my life.
You
changed my life.
Got a lot of approaches because I even go the way with my buddies because you know I'm married. I've been married for going on 8 years, but I'll take the approach of being the butt wipe, being the loud, the ignorant
one, the overly
confident guy
right,
that girls
exactly.
don't like, so that my buddies look better. Even
right.
now I'll do it, where they'll be like, why is your buddy so loud? They'll be like, yeah, man. My buddy, the T does it all. My best friend. He does. Yeah, he's so loud. But how you doing? He slides in, man.
So your version of being a wingman is being obnoxious.
Going the other, making you look better by making myself look bad. I don't want no woman.
Right.
I got a great woman. I don't need a bunch of
You're
women.
Taken care of.
I don't need a bunch, man. It's just headaches. You just get them, help them out. I'm telling you, man, I can capitalize. Let me write this down. We're going to start this. And I know you got some lame buddies, so right there with me.
Okay.
I know.
Do you have a log? You actually should genuinely keep a log of all the things that Crowder tells you to write down.
I do. We have a little sketchbook of off-the-air things that we should do for TV. But
Light Skin Wonder, right? One of them. This is another good one, too.
Light Skin Wonder.
We haven't capitalized on this.
Okay.
Okay.
Because there's glow-in-the-dark paint.
Mm-hmm.
What about darken the light paint?
So you're saying I'm out in the sun.
No. On items. So like, you know, saying like it looks regular, and then you turn the lights out and it glows. You're like, wow, glow in the dark. In the dark, it's red. But once it gets light, it gets dark. So when the sun or light hits it, everything's black. But then at night, it's darker.
I don't think that's how light works.
Well, you can think whatever you want, Chris. You're not in on the deal then. You're not in on the business. How about that? How about you just talk yourself out of the dark and the light paint? That quick.
I heard we're sitting in a soundproof studio, and I heard Falero banging on the table through the soundproofness.
No.
That is
no
how
for you.
That is how stupid he thinks your idea is.
Even in low light. Think about it.
Low light.
Okay. You walk into a ladies' room. You're single, dude. You walk into a ladies' room and the couch looks red. You know, the covers kind of look a little pink and orange. You know, you look around on the walls, you're like, okay, it looks a little colorful. Then when you turn the full bright light on, everything's black.
I don't how are you gonna pull this off
scientifically? Darken the light paint.
I don't think science works like that.
You don't know science. They can make light. They can make paint that holds light. They can make paint that turns black when light hits it. Chris, I think you're disrespectful of scientists.
Light skin wonder.
I believe in Stephen Hawking.
What?
I do. Y'all doubt
Wait,
it if y'all want
so
to.
So the light would be off when you walk into a bathroom, is what you're saying?
Okay. I need you to understand.
If you'll never.
Okay. So the idea is, so we're sitting in a room right now that has light. Right? Mm-hmm. The lights are on.
Everything will be black.
So your shirt would be black.
And then when you dim the lights.
And then when I turn the lights off, there's some color there.
The color comes out.
How? Woo! That's still glow in the dark.
No. Because everything turns black when the lights come on. Darken the light. Do you get it? It's going the other way.
Okay.
Do you get it?
So
it's going the other way.
No, but darken the light means that it's light in the dark.
But it's the other way, man. You saw the way, man. Can't get abs in 6 minutes.
I think we're debunking this.
Seven-minute abs.
It's time now for our Miami Dolphins injury report. It's brought to you by the University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Now at the Lennar Foundation Medical Center in Coral Gables, recover your game. For the Dolphins, there is a couple of players that were not participating in practice today, this being Wednesday. Rashad Jones, DMP with a shoulder injury. Falero has a theory that it happened at the goal line. When he tackled
Chris Herndon
right before half,
and then he was just sitting on the ground for a couple of minutes after that.
Yeah, so he is dealing with a shoulder injury. Did carry on the rest of the game, but did not play or did not practice today. And Danny Amendola, not injury related, did not practice today either. Limited in practice were Jordan Phillips and John Denny, the long snapper, though we saw obviously he played last week, so that shouldn't be an issue. Four participants dealing with a little bit of injuries: Kenyon Drake, William Hayes, Devontae Parker, and Ryan Tannehill. So Devontae Parker beginning practice with a full participation. Might we see his debut this Sunday against the Oakland Raiders? Would you want to see that? I feel like
Chris,
we saw
transition sunglasses turn dark when the sun hits them.
You weren't prepared to answer my question about Devontae Parker.
Transition
because
sunglasses.
You were getting information on the text to make your darken the light thing work.
Have you heard of transition sunglasses?
I have not.
Where they're light and you see the dude has little square glasses on and he hits the sun and they get dark all of a sudden, but he can still see. Same concept. Same scientific concept.
La 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 light skin wonder.
Yow! Woo!
Now that you've come up with ideas for bad businesses, why don't we come up with an idea for a good one? Delaware Chicken Farm.
Well, it is a great business because it's been same family owned and operated in the Hollywood, Florida area since 1951. Guys, get to Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. I had somebody tell me this exact phrase 13 years ago. I've been going ever since. Crowders eat 3 meals a day from Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. And trust me, I've been reading, I've been talking about Delaware for a long time. And a bunch of people come up to me and tell me it's true. I've been out there. I love it. You got to tell more people because they're going to love it too. It is a tradition to thousands of South Florida families. You got to get down there. You're going to love Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. The prices are amazing. The selection is great. And you can call in advance. Go to DelawareChicken.com. Call in advance at 954-983-6831. That's 954-983-6831. Tell them what you want. Your order will be packaged and ready when you get there. Saving you time, saving you money with prices like Key West pink shrimp, only $10.99 a pound. Tilapia fillets, only $6.99 a pound. Danish baby back ribs, this price, $4.99 a pound. Amazing. I get them every single time I go. And fresh made daily ground turkey breast, only $3.99 a pound. But they have it all. You have the fish dip, the crab dip, all your eggs. The best price on eggs you'll see. The conch salad, bean salad, potato salad, macaroni salad, lamb, beef, veal, and pork. They'll cut it as thin, as thick as you want your steaks and your lamb chops, poultry, duck, and turkey, 2 different types of lobsters, 15 different types of shrimp, 20 different species of fish back in the freezer. They have venison, they have escargot, they have frog legs, they got alligator meat. They have it all. You got to get to Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market, 441, one block south of Sterling Road. When you get down there, tell them Crowder sent you. Radio.com.
Chris Whittingham, Channing Crowder here on WQAM until 6 p.m. this evening. At 5 p.m., we're talking to Mark Mask of the Washington Post about the upturn in offense in the National Football League. I want to talk some Dolphins here momentarily, but we started the show on the hype train surrounding Jimmy Butler. Now, there has been an addendum since the list has come out. Now, Jimmy Butler has said that he's only willing to sign a long-term extension in a few places, they being Brooklyn, New York, and the Los Angeles Clippers. But Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN is saying in his story, Miami has also been a team with interest in Butler, league sources said, but the Heat don't have the salary cap space in July to pursue him. Now, that doesn't really make sense to me, because if you're acquiring him via trade now, then you can sign him using bird rights, and you don't need cap space. Now, maybe he's looking for a team with cap space so that, you know, that you can add to more. But Miami has been a team with interest in Butler, would seem to indicate that they might still try and trade him and basically go the Kawhi in Toronto, Paul George in Oklahoma City route. And even if he's not on the original leaked list of teams, that he is still going to potentially be a candidate for trade for Miami.
But if we trade for him, and we use, like you said, we trade people and equals the salary to 75%. Yeah.
All Jimmy Butler's salary is $20.5 million right now.
So it has to be $17 million or somewhere around there.
Yeah, basically, 70%,
whatever it is. That mathematical problem. Mm-hmm. If we do that problem and get it figured out, then Jimmy Butler comes down here. Let's say it's Jay Rich and who else? Say Justice Winslow. Then it's Jimmy Butler, this roster minus Jay Rich and Justice Winslow. That's not appealing to Jimmy Butler.
Right.
It's Jimmy Butler, Dragic, and Whiteside.
Well, I mean, it would be appealing if they then went on to have a really good season, right? And isn't that basically what happened with Oklahoma City? I mean, they didn't even have a good season. It's basically you get a year head start on recruiting. You get a year head start on having a guy in your building and selling him on your organization. And people thought Oklahoma City were crazy for doing that with Paul George. Insane for doing that. But I just, for whatever reason, he wanted to stay. They got eliminated in the first round by Utah. They didn't look anywhere close to winning a championship, and they had Carmelo, and everyone knew that they had a major problem needing to get off a salary for the amount of luxury tax that they were going to pay. I just, for me, you take that risk because you have a year to make the case. You have a year to say, okay, maybe we don't have it now, but in a year we can do this and we can do this and you can help us do that. Like, clearly, Oklahoma City took the risk and it worked. We'll see what happens with Toronto, but I would say they have a pretty good chance because of the amount of success that they're going to have. And maybe Miami has a chance, just location, your teammates, you like this organization, sell you on Spoelstra, sell you on Riley, and all of a sudden he signed to a long-term extension. Like, that could just as easily happen.
Yeah, and the location thing, man, people bring that up a lot, Chris. The lore's gone to me with the day and age it's in where these guys can get private jets. You want to see a beach? Jump in a jet, give them 10 grand, fly down to somewhere with a beach and go to a beach. But the organization, I don't know if the lore's still there. I don't know if it's still Miami Heat, Wade, then Shaq came, then the big three, and then it's Wade on the retirement tour. When Wade leaves, you're selling Hassan Whiteside to people. I don't think there's one guy in the league that wants to play with Whiteside. You correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think there's not one guy that says, boy, if I got on the team with Hassan Whiteside, that would push me over the edge. Mm-hmm. I don't think this guy's saying that. I think the lore's gone.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, Hassan Whiteside, it's well past that. Like, people in the NBA view him as a negative, as a, don't want to play with him. Like, he's gotten to that stage. But you could also say, Karl Anthony Towns put in a playoff performance that wasn't far away from Whiteside's. And so he's clearly, Jimmy Butler has seen, it's not going to work here, and I want to go somewhere else. But if you're the Heat, you're looking at the other teams right now that you're going up against, I don't think any of those three teams are playoff teams.
No.
So if you're saying that Jimmy Butler wouldn't view this situation as attractive, why would he view the Clippers situation as attractive? Like, they were a scrappy team that did well towards the end of last season, and Lou Williams, of all people, kind of took them to a place where I don't think a lot of people had them being. But I think sort of more important than that is Brooklyn, New York. Like, those aren't anywhere close.
Well, my thought on the Knicks would be a healthy Kristaps Porzingis.
But he might miss half the season, if not more, based off the massive injury that he had last year. And then do you know for sure that he's going to be fine when he comes back?
No. But I know a healthy Kristaps Porzingis is better than anybody on the Heat team. So, like you're saying, the chance to take, hey, bring him in and see, the chance Jimmy will take with, hey, I'm going to go to New York. I'll be the guy. If Kristaps come back balling, we have a chance to do something in a very, very weak East. We have a chance to be the second or third seed in the East if Kristaps and myself, with the Miami Heat, we talked about it earlier, but what does Jimmy take this team to? The sixth seed? Fifth seed?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't,
I think it's more
I don't
than
know. I don't know how we, how
I think do, it's, I think it's four.
Bigger picture, how does the Heat get out of this funk? That's the way, is to bring in Jimmy.
Right.
And it has to start recruit.
It has to start somewhere. Right, yeah. It has to start with Jimmy Butler and cap space, or Jimmy Butler and trade assets. Now, it depends on how much you have to give up in order to get Jimmy Butler. Like, how much of your trade assets are you depleting? But right now, the Heat's, those are the two ways, is you wait for cap space, or you wait for your trade assets to be attractive enough to, or you wait for another deteriorating situation. And this year, it could be Kyrie in Boston. Like, I mean, they might play well, but Kyrie's been very non-committal about where he wants to be next year. And if you're really sold on being in Boston, being with a team that can get to the finals and perhaps even win it next year, you'd kind of say that. He hasn't said it yet. And so there is still that hope there. But it'll be fascinating to see where the situation goes from here. And obviously the Heat could still take that one-year risk and perhaps trade for Jimmy Butler, who again today, according to The Athletic, has declared that he wants to be traded. Want to talk some Miami Dolphins, though, with you, Crowder, because I was talking before the show about with Falero about how he feels like the Dolphins fans are being joyless right now. That the Dolphins fans should be enjoying the hell out of everything right now. You're 2-0 when a lot of people thought you'd be the worst team in football. You just won on the road against your hated rival. Now, I do sort of wonder if this rivalry not being the same anymore because the two teams haven't been good for so long, I think has kind of led to the muting, oh yeah, cool, we'll beat the Jets. Like, I didn't feel the sense, I feel the sense of, you know, the Dolphins are 2-0, but we beat the Jets. Like, I just don't feel that antipathy for the Jets anymore. Yeah. But I do sort of wonder if there perhaps is a joy, like, Dolphins fans should be much more excited than they, like, I don't anticipate all of a sudden that Hard Rock Stadium is going to be packed and vibing on Sunday because the Dolphins have started 2-0. And do you think, first of all, that they should be? Do you think that Dolphins fans and South Florida sports fans should be all the way in?
There's only seven teams in the league that are 2-0.
Yeah.
The Dolphin fans are domesticated into negativity.
Yes.
Because, like, if you take an animal.
They're conditioned to negativity now.
You take a baby animal, a baby raccoon, and you bring him in the house. You start feeding him, you know, Chex Mix. And then when he grows up, you set him back in the wild. He's not going to be able to support himself. He's not going to know how to scavenge for food, how to drink, how to eat. He's been domesticated. And I think the fans, the Miami Dolphin fans, a number of them, have been domesticated into negativity. Oh, one win. Oh, well, the Titans, their quarterback was hurt. Okay, two wins. Sam Darnold, he's a rookie. But Sam Darnold scored 48 the week before, but when the Dolphins choke him to death, doesn't let him do one thing for the whole game, now he's just a rookie. a lot of Dolphin fans have been domesticated into negativity and snap out of it. Go figure out how to scavenge for positivity. Mm-hmm. Go find out how to run in the woods and be happy about your team being 2-0. It gets to me. There's big O's domesticated in negativity about a lot of things, too. And I listen to him, and it's like, hey, man, I totally disagree with everything you say, but I think he speaks for a lot of people, Dolphin fans, is that they're just so stuck in –
Whenever
train is going to crash sooner or later, so let me not get too excited.
Whenever I talk to non like hardcore sports fans, just people, right? People like relatives and that, and I talk about the Dolphins, it's always the Dolphins are going to suck, right? Like I knew people I work for this podcast, and we were planning an event around the Dolphins. Like, oh, they're going to be 0-3 by the time this game goes, and it's like they haven't even played a game yet, and everyone's decided that they're terrible. And you're right. I think you saw opening day. Even before the lightning delay, it was a gorgeous day that morning. Like, I woke up, I was like, wow. I was like, it'd be nice if I go to the beach right now. And so, like, maybe there's a bit of that. But it was also, wait a second, opening day of the season. We haven't even let them be bad. We've already decided, because, I mean, there were a lot of empty seats on opening day. Like, an amount was like, ooh. Like, not quite at Hurricanes level, like bad Hurricanes level, but it was like, Why isn't the stadium full? It's opening day. You don't even have the sun as an excuse anymore. Okay, I get it. If the sun, you know, the seats that are hitting, you know, hit by the sun, okay, you don't want to sit there. That's one thing. But most of the stadium is in the shade now, and I think just a lot of people have decided that the Dolphins are not going to be good. Now, here's the counter argument. Do you, through 2 weeks, feel like the Dolphins could win the Super Bowl? Not we can squeak to 9-7 and make the playoffs. Win the Super Bowl. Because but that's the position that the Dolphins have never been in. And look, as much as you know, you want to say, well, maybe that's unrealistic expectations. If you're a Chiefs fan right now, do you think your team can win the Super Bowl?
No.
No?
There's only one team I've watched on football eye test that I think is going to the Super Bowl and can win it, the LA Rams.
Yeah.
Defense and offense.
Now, I'm saying in the AFC, right? So if you're obviously the Pats can go. Do you think the Jags can go? If you're a Jags fan.
No.
You don't think they can get to the Super Bowl?
That offense is going to happen what happened last year.
Right.
That defense is going to choke somebody out, and they're going to play a good defense.
If you're a Pats fan, are you feeling concerned right now?
I would be concerned as a Pats fan, even though I know they usually play better in November, December than early in the season. But there's one team right now that I would bet money on winning the Super Bowl, the LA Rams. I think they are a dominant team. The rest of them are trying to figure it out.
But I think we're asking different questions. So – if you're Kansas City, you feel like, oh my God, we found something. If this thing carries through the rest of the season, like with the Dolphins, is it like it's your defense? And your defense giving up 13 points to the Titans and, as you said, choking out Sam Darnold and basically winning you the game. You don't win that game without getting two turnovers that set you up in good field position and take a 20-0 lead. But do you really believe in that defense to the point where it's like you're Chicago, you just got Khalil Mack, and now we're going to kick on and be this incredible defense. Like, I don't think that the Dolphins are there yet defensively, whereas a lot of teams discover something. Last year it was Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers, or Deshaun Watson with the Texans. Now, it hasn't panned out in year two, but it could. Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs. Things that happen over the course of the season where it's like, okay, if this carries on, then we're going to, you know, win, you know, we can win things. We can get deep into the playoffs. I still don't feel like you're there yet with the Dolphins, where you feel like the best case scenario is still we finish 10-6 and get to the wild card and probably lose in round one.
I'll tell you, my thing was preseason 0-0. My thing was wild card.
Yeah,
getting the wild card.
Well,
the Pats are going to win the AFC East. We have to go wild card.
I was beaten down by enough negativity where it was like, if the Dolphins get to 7 wins, I feel like that would be an upgrade on expectations. Expectations were 3 wins.
That's the negative domestication
right.
I speak
right.
of.
Right, yeah. Normally, I go into a season like, okay, let's see what happens. But there was enough people saying that this Dolphins team wasn't just going to be at like its usual average and be bad. That I had kind of bought into that. I kind of bought that, okay, this is going to be a team that's going to struggle to win games and would be lucky to get to 7 wins. Whereas now, I'm like, okay, yeah, they're an average NFL team. And on a given day, they can win a one-score game against just about anybody.
And that's my thing where I went to now, hell, could we win the AFC East?
Because
the Bills are garbage, the Jets are garbage, and our off conference schedule isn't that good. Like the Raiders, the Titans, are the other divisions we're playing, they're not that dominant. So in two games, I went from, there's not really much dominant. NFC South is dominant. There's not a lot of AFC. Go through the AFC and look at the divisions. There's there's two or one in each division. There's no dominant. There's nobody like the NFC South I'm speaking of. The Bucks 2-0. The Panthers were 10-6 last year. The Saints were 11-5, I believe. And the Falcons were 11-5. Like, we don't have that in the AFC. So now as the season progresses, Chris, but to your point, do I see the Dolphins win the Super Bowl? I can't say that right now. I'll say no. Mm-hmm. Hey, Crowder, put $10 on the Dolphins winning the Super Bowl. Hell no. But do I see a team that can go to the playoffs and a team that's impressive and a team that's better than last year? Yes, I see. I saw that all day.
Yeah.
The Dolphins averaged 8 points a game through the first 6 weeks last year. I see an offense with Ryan Tannehill healthy, with better weapons, flat out, Chris. The hell with Jarvis Landry. We have better weapons this year. All of our guys are running 4.4s and 4.5s. You have a tight end that runs a 4.5. Albert Wilson's a speedster. Jakeem Grant's a speedster. Kenny Steele's a speedster. We have a more explosive offensive skill position than we did last year. Kenyon Drake, he's a 4.4 guy. You add Frank Gore in there. I am confident as I watch what this team's doing offensively and schematically on both sides of the ball. With those safeties, those all three ball-hawking safeties, Xavier Howard locking down a corner, Robert Quinn and Cam Wake, like, I don't know how people question this. You question those linebackers, I'm with you, Chris. I question those linebackers. Josh Sitton gets hurt. I got to see what Ted Larson going to do. I'm seeing the question marks, but for people to just say, oh, 2-0, look who they beat. It is so, you are so conditioned in negativity that you should be ashamed of yourself.
I'll give you a counterpoint. I'll give it to you next.
Guys, y'all have to check out the South Florida Buick GMC dealers. These Buicks are awesome. 2018 lineup are beautiful, every single last one of them. The beauty, the performance, boy, go drive one. You're going to want to come on back to the dealership when you test drive it because you're going to take it straight home, but they got to have you fill out those papers. Comfortable and safety. That is what a Buick is. Beauty, performance, comfort, safety. That is the 2018 lineup of Buicks. The big truck to the car, you're riding smooth, you're comfortable, and everyone in your car is comfortable with the technology, not bells and whistles and lights, but technology for you and your passengers. 4G Wi-Fi. Buicks are their own hotspot. All your tablets, your laptops, all that stuff, you're your own hotspot. I love, as the driver, the Apple CarPlay. Syncs to my phone, get my contact list, get my playlist. I am comfortable driving. Sirius XM radio, everything for your comfort and the safety. All Buicks have a 5-star safety rating, so you can have that peace of mind on the road. But I want to introduce you to the new Buick Enclave Avenir. When y'all see that Avenir signature inscribed on the door of the Enclave Avenir, you know there's a first-class experience waiting for you inside. Spacious interior, wood-toned accents. You are riding in luxury. They feature three rows of first-class seating, and you can seat up to seven people in that Enclave Avenir with crafted leather appointed first and second row seats. It is beautiful. On the outside, you got 20s, baby. 20-inch alloy wheels, and that Avenir grill grabs attention of everybody in the parking lot. Everybody on the highway, trust me, they're going to be looking at you. It is an attention grabber. This is a beautiful vehicle. It's time to discover that new standard in Buick luxury. It's time to discover the Enclave Avenir at your South Florida Buick dealer today. Radio.com.
Twinning AM, Channing Crowder here on WQAM. Here until 6 p.m. Coming up, we'll talk to Mark Mask of the Washington Post in our Funky Buddha happy hour coming up here in the 5 o'clock at all. That sounds delightful.
You a beer guy?
Not really. I was saying to Falero, here's my ringing endorsement for the Landry's Tears beer that they have over at Funky Buddha. That was meant in commemoration of Jarvis Landry constantly talking about Miami, even though he's not in Miami anymore.
Hater.
I like that beer so much that even though I don't like beer, I like that beer. And so my endorsement is that someone who doesn't like beer, I'm a fan.
Listen, it's
a great beer.
They have
some
seasonal stuff. My wife is not a beer guy.
Yeah.
But they have some seasonal stuff. Sweet potato beer. They have this orange IPA. It's some stuff that Funky Buddha comes out with. Man, it's delicious. I'm hardcore. Yeah. I like Hop Gun.
You like
Hop
IPAs.
Stimulator. Yeah, that's man.
I'm more the Floridian guy.
Little 8 to 9 Floridian. Floridian's pretty good now.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I mean, you got to have some flavor. You got to drink real beer.
No, you don't.
Don't drink that old peat water, man. Drink some real beer.
I was drinking with someone who always makes fun of me for my my very non-beer-liker beer choices. And I was like pineapple
Pineapple Beach?
Pineapple Beach, yes.
Delicious.
Yeah, I know. It's like, so Pineapple Beach is a beer that you would generally make fun of someone for. If you, you know, it's like, oh, come on, be a man. And everyone drinking a Pineapple Beach. It's not a manly beer. And tell me about Pineapple Beach. And the beer snob in my group is like, oh, I love that. I was like, okay, I'll have one of those then.
Yeah.
Because Pineapple Beach, it sounds like exactly the kind of beer that I would like. And I did. It's a great beer.
I'll tell you this, Chris. No matter what, I think it's Hookie Idol or something. It's like a tropical IPA. You can't get made fun of for drinking Funky Buddha.
Yeah.
You can't
do it.
Exactly. The bottles are bright. Whatever. You can't. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. And I make fun of people about beer.
Yes, you
do. If you don't drink the real stuff. But yeah, you can't do it, man. It's too good.
It's good stuff, man. So Funky Buddha Happy Hour is coming up next. And if I sound like I'm at all distracted, it's because my favorite soccer team is in the dying moments here. Manchester City are playing in the Champions League right now against Lyon. And they're into the dying embers of this one. And they're still down 2-1 at home. And I'm not pleased.
Great save by Lyon keeper. I don't know what you said there, man.
Lyon?
Lion.
The dying embers.
Yeah, the dying embers of this one.
Never heard that before.
you're trying to come back with something. You were ruminating, man, and you didn't have anything.
Because you're making up stuff.
No,
that's not
no,
a saying.
No.
Nobody calls a game the dying embers,
the dying
Chris.
Embers of this
no
one.
No one says that. That's not a saying.
It most certainly is.
You've heard it before you used it?
Oh, I have not used it myself, but I have heard it used by English commentators. They for them, you know what's funny? So I was thinking about this, actually, is that for them, the doing a broadcast is like the, you know, I'm going to let my words go. It's poetry. I'm crafting words. And you just don't hear that in America as much. Like, you don't hear, like, I was complaining about, if you watch NFL games, once you notice this, you'll never not notice it. The number of times that NFL broadcasters use the phrase, down the sideline! Like, it's like, literally, I try and watch now at least a portion of every game. Mm-hmm. I watch the highlights package on YouTube. They do, like, really good, like, 8-minute recaps of games. And, like, at least 3 times a broadcast, down the sideline! And it's like, use another phrase. But use what, anything
Chris,
else.
That
like
that describes it perfectly. What do you say, down the edge of the grass?
No, like, use, you know, flying up the field or darting down the sideline or, you know, like, it's something. He's in the Steelers territory. He's got first down yardage. Like, literally anything else.
You want to hear a poem or you want to know what's going on in the game, Chris?
I just want, like, don't use the same phrase over. It's like,
crazy.
It's unbelievably redundant to me. Unbelievably redundant.
They say first and 10 a lot. What do you want them to say? First attempt at 10 yards?
No, but
you're crazy.
First down here for the Dolphins. Is that so hard? Like, use something else.
So what do they say? Like a fast break. I don't know soccer. What is it? What's a fast break?
Counterattack.
So yeah. They say a counterattack by Juventus. There's 6 ways to say counterattack?
Yeah.
How? Mm-hmm.
Oh, watch out. Juventus is on the break.
Yes.
Huh?
They'll try and hit them on the counter.
So counterattack on the break, hit them on the counter. That excites y'all? That gets y'all going?
It's not that it gets me going. Is that when I'm listening to the game, I'm hearing something different as opposed to the phrase that gets used over and over and over again, right? Even like touchdown, you say in for the score. Is that so hard? Or Dolphins lead instead of saying touchdown. Like, it's like the whole point.
Chris, don't start the touchdown thing because all y'all do is scream goal.
No.
Everybody screams, goal! Get excited about this crap.
Spanish.
That's Spanish language commentary.
Okay,
that's
so they don't say goal when one of these little guys out
commentary.
Here do it.
That's how they do it in the Spanish language commentary.
Come on,
I love
man.
Commentary.
See, y'all, man, don't mess with my game. I'm letting y'all watch 18 damn soccer games. Don't mess with my game.
The team's going to lose. Not
worried about
them
little boys running around in orange.
No, then it's more the team in the light blue that concerns me at the moment. We've had the minimum of 3.
Oh, light blue or sky-colored kilts.
Kilts?
What the hell's going on? Y'all want to use different words
for
the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of broadcasting.
Want a synonym book.
Yes,
sitting up in the
box. It's known as a thesaurus. Yes, I want a thesaurus in the broadcast booth. Yeah, I want something. I mean, that's... Isn't that...
No, you made a hell of a point.
We work with language, right? I mean, we talk.
We
talk.
But Chris, honestly, I listen for understanding.
Yeah.
So if you say down the sideline, I know there's a man with the ball running close to the white. Breaks for the edge of the field on the green grass down the hash. Come on, man. Down the sideline, broke. Get out of there. Yittity.
What is that?
What does that mean?
I don't know. I'm trying to use different words to make y'all happy.
Flair, you're like motion. You're ready to go to break. Do I have to go to break now?
Nah, I don't know why.
Your hands were moving. Yeah, you were concerned.
It sounded something like you go to break with when you said
No. I was just as confused as you were, to be honest. Can I very quickly get to my counterpoint here on the Dolphins?
What you got?
So you were saying that you should just enjoy the fact that they're having some success. Yeah. There are things to enjoy, right? You could, Ira Winderman very regularly makes this argument at me, not to me, at me, where he gets angry at the fact that I think the Heat next year, at least the retirement tour is fun, right? Yeah. But effectively, you're playing for nothing. They're not going to win the championship. They're probably going to get eliminated in the first round. They're probably going to win 44 games, and that'll be their season, unless they make a trade, unless they do so. But even then, the trades become harder when you're in a situation where you have all these bad contracts and nobody wants your players, right?
Yep.
And so, next year, the Heat season, for me, is pretty useless, right? It really only comes down to, is Dwayne Wade doing fun things and his last regular season home game and then maybe his last playoff game? But other than that, not a ton to watch. I can understand why someone would feel the same way about the Dolphins. Even though they're 2-0, do you really feel like there's going to be something that's accomplished this year? And really, the only thing is either you have Ryan Tannehill take a significant step forward from where he is now, or somebody on either side of the ball becoming a Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, Khalil Mack, Marcus Peters, all these guys that, or even Joe Thomas, who never allows a sack, like somebody like that who is a standout, clear top of the league player at a given position. And it just doesn't feel like the Dolphins are even anywhere close to that. And so I just, I do understand what's, okay, I'm getting excited for what? For us to lose in round one to the Chargers? Like, what am I really getting fired up about?
So there's 31 teams in the NFL and 29 teams in the NBA that are flat out wasting their time cheering or doing anything to support their team because they're not going to win the championship.
In the NFL?
I'm saying there's 31 teams that aren't going to win the Super Bowl. It's a guarantee. There's one team going to the Super Bowl, and there's 31 teams that are going to fail. So if you fail at winning the Super Bowl, there's no reason to support your team or have excitement.
No. What I'm saying is I think the team, the fan bases that really feel like they're going somewhere, if you're Boston last year, right?
Yeah.
You had your two most important players get hurt during the season, and you still made the Eastern Finals, and you still probably should have won it. You're going into the next year thinking, okay, we got Kyrie, we got Gordon Hayward, we got all these rookies that were incredible last year. Let's go. Like we're fired up. Like, the Heat don't have that. The Dolphins don't have that. Where even, the thing that will lead you to the next championship, that's my thing, is either you have a thing that can win you a championship now, or the thing that will win you the next championship. Like, if you're Milwaukee, you go into every season with a degree of hope because Giannis Antetokounmpo could be the year that it becomes not just a really good basketball player, but a superstar that can help you win. Like, that year, that potential exists. I still don't see it for the Dolphins, even at 2-0.
The best team in the league right now, speaking of the NFL, in my mind is the Rams.
Yep.
3 years ago, they were garbage.
Yes. Two years ago, they were garbage.
They got better.
Yeah,
and
no,
they got better.
No, they didn't get better. They got good in one offseason.
They got better. No, last year, because Goff was 3 years ago, he was garbage.
It was two years ago.
And they put him in, and he gets better. They bring in McVay.
This is Goff's third season in the league.
Okay.
First year was garbage.
Let me just get to my point.
Yeah.
Every team builds. Every team grows. You don't want to go through the labor. You just want to see the baby of a championship. That is a terrible fan. In my mind, honestly, if all you want is a championship, you don't want to see the growth. You don't want to see game 1, 2, 3 through 16. You don't want to see the wild card. You don't want to see the divisional or the conference. You just want to see the Lombardi Trophy or failure. I think that is a terrible fan, and you can text me all you want to, a terrible fan base. If your goal is only to see the Lombardi Trophy, that's all your goal for the year is, that's crazy, Chris. That's a crazy approach, and it's silly.
Mark Mask of the Washington Post joins us next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.